This recording is part of a Springfield Greene County Library District's 2010 Big Read, and today's date is March the 2nd of 2010. At the moment, I'm interviewing Tommy Clare, a local businessman and native of the Ash Grove area. Tommy, we're going to begin our conversation today with why don't you go back to your family's settlement in Ash Grove area and just talk your way through up until the Depression era, then I'll ask you some other questions.
Well, the story passed down through my grandfather, Orville Sewell, who was coming from Kentucky, and his wagon caught on fire at Luck, Missouri. They made their home, made a store at Luck, Missouri, was the first Methodist preacher in Greene County. Was there till in Luck from 1832 to 1856. Then they moved to Pearl, Missouri, which they opened a store up at Pearl, a general store at Pearl. And from 1832 to the present date, there's been a Sewell or Clare or somebody in the family that's a merchant from 1832 to the present day.
Including yourself.
Including myself, right. The last 4 years.
Well, tell me, first of all, where Luck, Missouri?
Luck, Missouri is exactly 4.5 miles west of Walnut Grove on BB, where you go past JJ Highway and you turn back right and go south about a mile and a half. And that's Luck, Missouri.
Is there anything in Luck, Missouri today?
There's only a house left.
If your ancestors settled in Luck, Missouri because of a fire, do you know where they were going?
They were wanting to go. Everybody was telling everybody that you got to go west. So when they had hopes, when they went through Kentucky, they were settled at, they said they spent 4 months till the weather got better out of St. Louis, headed this way here. And nobody would share grease and stuff. You had to have your own provisions. And once your wagon got caught on fire, nobody really had a perfect route to go, because this is 1832. They were following Daniel Boone, Nathan Boone's, you know, how they thought they were, because they were heading on the Springfield route.
Okay, you talk about the fire a little bit. Why don't you tell our listeners what might have caused the fire?
The fire is really, you didn't even know it's catching on fire. What happens is the bearings on the axles, they run dry, and you don't smell it because you're going forward and you're smelling the oxen or the mules, and I don't know which one they had. But time you catch it on fire, the axle's gone. Of course, around here, we could have made another axle for them, but it would take a couple more days to get it done and put it back in there. By the time they got done, they decided they liked this area, and there was next spring down there, and they decided to make a little home site here. So that's what happened to a lot of people. They were heading west. They didn't know exactly where they were heading. But a lot of times their wagons broke down, or they had a horse die, or they couldn't pull it no longer, or somebody, family member died, and that's where they made their homestead.
What? By accident. I agree with that. Tell me about Pearl, Missouri. Did this family center apparently move from Luck to Pearl?
Well, Pearl, Missouri came in effect, and after 1856, they knew they were going to be putting a railroad in. And it was going to be the Frisco High Line Railroad, we're going to call it right now. And they were going to go to Walnut Grove. And they had some land there, and they exactly was still in the wilderness. It was between Walnut Grove, in the middle between Walnut Grove and Willard. And they needed the community there, so they had a general store there. And it was a very busy store up to about 1947 when it closed. So,
and that general store was a family?
It was a family.
Okay.
Store.
Would that been your grandfather? Or
It would have been part of my great-grandfather and his wife. But 1947, they moved to Ash Grove area and started dairy, had a dairy farm.
Okay.
So they left my aunt, she still lived there, and they had an auction there in 1965, an auction and everything else.
Well, Tommy, I know that you are not of the age to have any recollections of the Depression, but do you have any memories or stories that passed down through your grandparents or your parents?
Well, I remember talking about how everything had to come from the farm. They couldn't buy anything. And I do remember we got a picture of my family when they went to Ozark Campfire Fair, and the whole town loaded up in a big truck. Mm-hmm. And they camped there because it took 2 days to get there, almost, and back. Mm-hmm. They just come back and forth. And that was their highlight of the year. And the things I remember about the, my homestead was coming from Phoenix, there was one truck going up the hill once a week carrying one stone, and they couldn't hardly pull the hill. And it was only like a 32-foot semi, but they couldn't pull the hill. I mean, you hear them shift down the granny.
What was the cause of not being able to pull a hill? Was it the equipment or road conditions?
It was a hill, and, you know, the speed limit wasn't that high. Mm-hmm. We're talking about in the 50s and 60s, and what they would have on there would probably weigh, 40,000 pounds on a 32. And the truck just wouldn't hardly pull up there. Mm-hmm. Once he got up to the highway, he was okay. But that was a pretty good hill. But they couldn't get more than one stone. And one stone a week is what they took out.
That's interesting.
I think they closed in like 1965, 64. But in the 50s and the early 60s, that's all they took out.
So. Well, let's talk about a little bit about industry in and around Ash Grove. Things that come to my mind are the Ash Grove Lime Company and Phoenix Quarry in particular. It also, some of your recollections about the railroad, you know, you see signs around town today, and Ash Grove is kind of promoted being a railroad town back years ago. So why don't you talk a little bit about those things?
Well, of course, we grew up where the Leaky River Railroad was, where the depot was, and what we had was a steam engine shop. And they got the water from had a ram pump, ran it up, and before they went on to the Clinton, they was able to fill the engines up. That's where our place is at. But the railroad company that I can remember, the biggest thing was in like 1970, where there was a couple of derailments and stuff, and everybody just swarmed to pick up the fruit and vegetables and stuff. And in 72, I cleaned the railroad up with my backhoe and dozer and stuff. That's before they had their own equipment all the time.
I've heard stories that they used to keep an extra engine here in Ash Grove, and do you remember what that was about?
I don't remember that, but that's before my time.
I know it was.
See, I didn't really come to Ash Grove till I was 1964, because I stayed on the farm before then. And you didn't have a driver's license, so you stayed home milk.
Stayed home.
You came home on Saturday, and you got to go to the movies up here, over the skating ring, but that was our highlight if we got to go there, but I don't remember that part there. I remember the trains and stuff and how busy the town was. And I know in 1965, there was seven gas stations, three grocery stores, and everything was clothing. You didn't have to go to Ash Grove. You had everything in Ash Grove you needed.
I've asked almost everybody I've interviewed today about their recollections of Main Street.
Yeah.
What type of business or what memories do you have of Main Street?
My number one main was the ice cream parlor. Then we could go over from the Davis's Ice Cream Parlor, go across and look at Roselle's equipment. They had international equipment, tractors and stuff. They were set on one of the new tractors, you know. Here we're driving tractors in the 1930s, 1940s. They had some brand new tractors and some new equipment and hydraulic equipment, you know, instead of pull equipment. It was really pretty to look at. Then we've had boat factories here, and we've had some other factories that come in here and gone.
So, you said you moved to Ash Grove in 1964, right?
62.
What was downtown like in 62?
Well, you had a movie theater. You had two doctors and stuff. You had clothing stores, men's clothing store at Wilson. You had a women's clothing store on the south side of the Kellingsworth store. You had three grocery stores in town, and an excellent hardware store, a plumbing store, lots of gas stations, and you had Walter Justice had a Plymouth dealership down there on 160. Then we had a Black Chevrolet, then we had Wilson Motors and so forth.
How often would you go to Springfield in the 60s?
I don't ever remember going to Springfield till I was 16. Never did. So.
Big trip for you.
Well, you know, it's a long trip.
You and I have talked in the past about the quarry, Phoenix mm-hmm. Quarry. Why don't you talk about that for a little bit?
Well, the Phoenix Quarry, what I remember is, like I said, when they took a big stone out, and after that they closed it down and it grew up really terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, people used the quarry as a dump. They threw trash in there. They stole cars and drove them off. In fact, brand new cars from Wilkinson Motors. They drove a brand new car off and dumped it in the river. They found stolen vehicles out there, and it just grew up. Carthage Marble Company was in their possession at that time, but they didn't do any maintenance to the land or anything else. Didn't lease it out or anything until David Richter and Charles Nolan got a hold of it, and they cleaned it all up for that problem.
What time was that?
Oh, around 1980, 85, I think.
1980.
85, probably.
What stories have you heard about its heyday when things were going?
Well, you hear a lot of different stories about them, and you don't know if they're all true. Of course, one of them that I don't know if it's true or not, but I have heard different people say that Bonnie Parker went to school there for a short time. Mm-hmm. And we do know her uncle and aunt did work there and part of it, and her mother lived just a short distance from there. But in the heyday and stuff, we got pictures of how many plants there was. School had a black school, white school.
At Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was they had their own grocery store, and everybody used company script money. And
that's what I heard, that they paid in script, yes.
And it was a little town between Ashgrove and Montgrove, and it was just a town by itself, and everybody was busy for many years. I think, if I remember right, it started in 1888 or 89, and it was very popular till after the World War II, and it sort of slowed down.
So probably close post-World War II, somewhere in there. Do you know exactly when?
Don't know exactly. Yeah. I'd have to call Carthage and talk to them, but they know the data, but I don't remember. Okay. But then they just took out small bits and pieces from then on. They still had machinery there. I remember, as a boy, going over there and looking at the machinery and the chain cables and wondering how they cut the marble.
Well, we're near the end of our interview. I want to ask you one final question. Do you have any curious tales of the Ashgrove area, fact or fiction?
Well, there's always those ghost tales, this ghost story about people getting ran over because of the railroad tracks. Uh-huh. And we do know several people that got ran over, and they've haunted people, and the people have... I remember as a boy we taped pennies on the tracks and have people playing on it and so forth. But there's always been this sort of ghost tale of people, you know, didn't want to walk down the tracks at night and so forth, because somebody would haunt you. Mm-hmm. Sort of just a scary tale and so forth. But I know my daughter lives in Morrisville, my other daughter lives in Fiddler's Ford, and they can still hear the rail tracks from Ashgrove because of the valleys. And it's a And when you can hear the rail track 20 miles away, still a long way, making a big impact.
Well, one last question. Describe one story about a fun day on the farm for you as a little kid.
As a little kid at the farm? Well...
What mischief would you get into?
Well, I don't know. My brother was older, and he got to go to school and everything else, and I stayed home and milk and everything. And I gathered, did all the eggs and stuff, and I was jealous because, you know, he got to do everything, got new clothes. I never got a new pair of shoes or clothes till I was 16. Oh. I wore hand-me-downs. And my brother was coming, and I threw an egg right on top of his head. Act like it was an accident, you know. And he came up there and hit me with a baseball bat and caved my head in. So that wasn't really fun, but you know, I got even with him. So when he got back up, I dropped a bale of hay on his head. But you know, it was farm life. You had to do everything with your family. You didn't really have neighbor kids to play with. You had to come up with your own toys. Riding a stick pony, you know, we did this and stuff. We didn't have no electronic games. Like I said, my brother, he was going to school, and I was the second child, and a lot of the times the second child don't get the attention as the first child, and she don't get the clothes, and so you get left out a lot of stuff. So,
where'd you go to grade school?
Ashgrove.
You went to Ashgrove.
Yeah, I was the last graduating class of 8th grade before they tore it down. And I got to go to Owen. We got some pictures of it and everything else, and Mrs. Corbin, I thought, was 6'6", and she really wasn't. She figured me and Thomas Miller and I on the basketball field. She shook us and put us together. We can't do that no more, but she would hit us with a yardstick. And she actually was a sweet lady. After I grew up and knew her, she was a sweet lady that I was scared to death of until I was 30 years old.
Well, Tommy, this concludes our interview, and I want to thank you for coming and appreciate your time and your information.
Recorded as part of the Springfield-Greene County Library District's 2010 Big Read. For more information, contact the library at 417-883-5366 or visit us on the web at thelibrary.org.